Right, I'm just going to ask a word of prayer and then we'll go into this lesson. Father, I just ask that you might help us. Help us, Lord, to gain what you would have us to gain from this very important topic. And we thank you, Father, for this series of messages that you have allowed us to work through. We ask you, Father, to be that we ask that you would be honored. We pray that everything we say and do is absolutely in line with your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Loving God with all you are. Now, we have been talking about gaining victory over a life-dominating sin. That's what we've been talking about for a long, long time. And it obviously has a lot to do with recognizing that sin has its roots. Even if it was the sin of another person, there is a need as a Christian to be able to come to a point and say, okay, that has happened in the past, but I am not going to be controlled by the past. I'm going to be controlled by the Spirit of God and have victory in where I'm at and go forward for His glory. We're coming to the end. Actually, I'm going to be on a different topic a week from now. I'm just doing kind of a last wrap-up as we on this topic. Loving God with all you are, because this is really a key. Why do we go through all the trouble of changing habits and thought patterns? Why would anybody do that? What's the answer to that? Why should anyone... You know, just forget it. It's just things are bad and things have been bad and things are bad and I'm just going to stay there. Why is that not an acceptable way? Any thoughts? Yes, we want to be more like Jesus. We got to recognize we've been bought with a price and we are inheritance. We are destined to inherit wonderful treasures and It's looking beyond ourselves as the concept here. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live for something worth dying for? Brother Jerry. Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about. Yep, absolutely. We are absolutely commanded by Scripture. We are commanded by Scripture to do several things like that, such as... No matter what our circumstance, and we can't say that, no, they don't understand. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a commandment. And the man was in prison, unlawfully in prison, had already experienced many beatings, and God put in him the words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a sobering thought to contemplate.
I just want to say that first Christians knew what it was. Died because they saw Jesus die and rise again for them.
Mm-hmm.
And through his death, they knew that even if they died, they wouldn't even come close to what his sacrifice
right. was. Yep. Brother Jerry?
The principle of change is that we change for God's glory and for our
God. Yep.
That's
how it works out. Yep. Yep. Say it louder so they can hear you.
It works out for God's glory.
Okay? It is, we are to do all that we do for God's glory. And in the midst of challenging times, we have to ask ourselves, not what would please us, but what would please God. Brother Jerry. We can be a blessing to others, and I'll tell you what, it'll be a blessing to us as we focus on being a blessing to others. What is your reason for living? I'm not asking anyone to answer that, but think about it. This is a critical item. No matter what your health situation is, whatever your financial situation, whatever your housing situation, whatever your family situation, what is your reason for living? Yeah, what gets you up? And you know what? It's really pathetic when people get to the point where they just want the lights out. Things are not good when that's the choice you make. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? It is such an important thought to contemplate. Now, we're going to be looking at the great commandment and just taking apart this portion of Scripture. But when we talk about love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, you have to remember that earlier in the book of Matthew, he speaks of that in chapter 22 of Matthew and in Mark chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 6, he says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you have to start asking yourself, what is really important to me? A lot of people profess to be Christians, and many people are Christians, but they aren't excited about Jesus. That is a serious flaw. It's a serious sin. It is a serious problem, and if you're wondering why you can't get beyond your circumstances, that's one of them if you're a genuine believer. Now, obviously, this doesn't apply to unbelievers, but if you really know Jesus Christ and you understand what he has already done for us and what it costs, God himself sending his own son who is God, who took upon him the limitations of being in the womb of a woman, being born into humanity, taking upon him the likeness of man, and he goes all the way and dies on the cross, all because he was going to substitutionally take our place, pay the price for our bad thoughts, our shameful words, our disgusting behavior. Pretty sobering. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, when you see that, what is that? Keep your heart with all diligence. That sounds a lot like when my two-year-old grandson is around and I say, Alex, pick up your toys. What am I saying to Alex? I'm telling him, it's a command, pick up your toys. It isn't an optional issue. It is a command, and if he doesn't, he's in disobedience. Guess what? This comes directly from God's word, and he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. It's the very core of who we are. I'm not talking about the organ that we refer to as the heart that pumps the body. We're talking about our essence, in essence, who we are. And we really are to guard it. And what are we supposed to guard it for? For Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance as his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man as a man. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now here is a problem. Particularly in American Christianity, I can't speak for Christianity around the world, but for American Christianity, we are way too much concerned about our outward appearance when we are like the Pharisees, when the inside is the problem. We clean ourselves up so we look good to one another, when in fact our thoughts, what we dwell on, what is seriously important to us, is not good. And this reminds me, this verse, this is a reality check. You may be able to fool everybody that's around you, but you're not fooling God. God knows where your heart is. And so, I go back to the second verse on the slide. Keep your heart with all diligence. What do you treasure? As Brother Jerry said earlier, what gets you up in the morning? What gets you excited? And the reason why I wanted you to start with your testimony, because I could see that in your heart you were thrilled with the opportunity to see someone who is touched with the words of Christ and with the gospel. See, that gets me excited too. It gets me excited when in my flesh, I want to respond one way, and I'm able to think about how God views it, and I choose to respond differently. It gets me excited when I know someone else that's going off to a very difficult situation, and I diligently pray for the circumstances, and then I hear later that it went well instead of the challenging interaction that was anticipated. You know what that's talking about? Treasuring the heart of God, the will of God, the desires of God. What does it mean to love God with your soul? Where the heart is really talking about our whole essence, the soul is really a word that has a lot to do with emotions. Psalms 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, do not fret." That sounds like a command, doesn't it? Have any of you had some pressures monetarily lately? Anybody relate to that, where they've had some pressures financially? Things have happened to you? And none of us want to raise our hand, but the truth is I would raise my hand. It seems like more pressures than a lot of times. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You look around, you see other people doing well, and they're not walking to the Lord, and you have to really guard your heart. It goes back to that passage just before. It says, don't do that. Rest in the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, and you could take it to the end of the chapter. 33 is beautiful, but I chose to put up 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, is that not convicting? Do you worry about tomorrow at all? As Christians, we are to live in today. We are not to be driven by the concerns of tomorrow. And we're not supposed to be just bogged down by what happened in the past. We are to live in the present. It literally ends the chapter with that thought. Listen, today, there's enough wickedness in the day. You don't have to drill up other stuff in your mind. Just deal with today and deal with it in such a way that at the end of the day, you could say, Lord, I've done my best to honor you. My prayer is that, in fact, you found it pleasing. And if there's something I should have done differently, Lord, help me. This goes on to say, what you shall eat, what you should drink, nor about your body. All the people that are, I think of Brother Jerry, I'm not saying it's input. But when we face surgery, some people get overwhelmed by the prognosis that I've got to go through surgery. This is a scripture that is telling us, now listen, even that is in God's hand. And what you put on, and is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Philippians, right before this, it did say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Two verses later, it says, be anxious for nothing. How broad is that statement? I stand before you making the point that this is very broad, and it is obviously commanded. But I'll tell you, this is a challenge, isn't it? It's easy to talk about it, but when you get hit with some of the surprises of life, my surprises are different than your surprises, but we all get hit with surprises and disappointments and just things that is like Mack trucks running over us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can you train your emotions? What do you think? Can you train your emotions? Or have you ever been around somebody that says, well, that's just me. I'm just emotional. Yeah. Yeah, we are absolutely supposed to. But I'll tell you what, in our culture, all sorts of people are saying, no, this is the way I am. It may be a tendency that you have, but it does not change the fact that Scripture unquestionably said, commands you to rejoice and stop pouting. It unquestionably says, be anxious for nothing, stop worrying. In other words, rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That is a command. It's commanded here, there, everywhere in Scripture. You see it just coming at us. So what is the answer to this? Can you train your emotions? God never commands you to do something you can't do.
Right. One of the things to do in the service is to train you to control your emotions.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the beautiful things about boot camp. No, I remember when my one daughter informed me that she had enlisted. And I'm not going to use it. I've already shared too much. It's obvious who it is. But I remember I started to laugh. I said, you really understand what you've just done? He said, oh yeah, this is what I need to do. And she really was convinced it's what she needed to do, and she did it for that reason. It changed her. It changes you. And what is that a testimony of? Your emotions can be controlled. I got to get rolling really fast. What does it mean to love God with your mind? Which I'm talking now about our place of intellect, our basic attitudes and dispositions. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Isaiah was saying about God, God, you will keep him in perfect peace. You'll keep the person in perfect peace who keeps his mind focused on you and who trusts in you. You'll give him perfect peace. And it doesn't go on to say, except in that situation when you were given the bad medical report, or when you heard that someone you really love had made bad decisions and there's consequences with it. No, it doesn't give any of those if statements. That's what he's talking about. That's Christian character. That is the command that we've been challenged to develop. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm just using verse 2. But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Controlling the way you think gives you the opportunity to experience God's best for your life. You can experience God's plan for your life. Not easy, but it is doable. 1 Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What's it saying? It's saying you and I have a responsibility to take control of the way we think. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I really love the last part of this verse for me personally. This is a big thing for me personally. It talks about gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. It's talking about future tense. In other words, no matter what your current circumstances, you are to rest in the grace, the unmerited favor, because you know, Lord, personally, of what is in the distant future, because you have confidence that God will provide it. He is not talking about your circumstances will be instantaneously changed. There's nothing in this verse about your circumstances changing. It's other than your response to the circumstances. And that response is to be empowered by your looking up unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Can you train your mind to think biblically and theologically? Well, the answer is yes. But it won't happen. It won't just naturally happen. I'll tell you what naturally happens. What naturally happens is to think fleshly and wickedly and evilly. That's a natural thing. What we have a responsibility is to discipline ourselves to think biblically and theologically. One of the biggest things, I'm sure others in here would say this too, but one of the most critical items in this category is this. It really is two things that I exercise. Prayer and reading the Word. Quieting my heart, focusing, meditating. That's what I'm referring to in prayer. And then getting into the Word. And I'm not talking just about casually reading, although some of it is casually reading it. I'm also talking about deeply thinking about it and studying it, trying to understand it. Christians are told to love God with their strength. Now, this is in the Mark passage, not in the Matthew passage. It's also found in the Deuteronomy passage and left out of the Matthew passage, which is the fascinating thought. We talked about that one time, but here in Mark, it's brought back again. Christians are told to love God with all their strength, their power, and their might. In what ways can a person love God with their physical strength? Thought of this verse. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's one way you can do it with your strength. It's saying, I'm going to honor God with this. That is such a beautiful thought. Have you done that today? When you woke up this morning, did you say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? How would you have me to do it? Those are good thoughts. I love asking myself, Lord, how can I end up closer to you at the end of this day than I've ever been before in my life? Lord, help me to do that. It is a lifelong journey for me. I trust it's a lifelong journey for many of us to be closer every single day, draw closer. And I found that I no longer only draw closer to the Lord on those days when big events happen. Clearly, those big tragic and traumatic events have a way of taking to another level. But you can go to another level, and I can go to another level in everyday normal days if we make it our priority. Say, Lord, I want to draw closer. I want to sense you. I want to see you. I love going through the day. Like this morning, I literally was praying for this individual going to this meeting. I knew I happened to see them before they went off to meet this individual. I just said, Lord, show yourself powerful. And then to hear the reports, they just rejoice. It's a thrilling thought. Ephesians 4:20, this is another way that you can use your strength. Instead of doing the wrong thing, like it says here, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, talking about physical and exertion, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Notice he isn't doing it for himself. Use your time, your energy, and your strength wisely. Sometimes that means, this is the truth. Sometimes it means you just sit down and you rest. You ever gone so fast that the smartest thing you can do is just relax, step away? With my wife, it's classic. I can see it in her. She literally can work herself to the point that if someone didn't intervene, she would keep going, and then she'll be sick for several days. And just say, you know what? The best thing you can do for all of us, and we all appreciate all that you do for us, is why don't you just go take a nap? Or why don't you go to bed right now? Just go up and go to sleep. That is using our time wisely. What did the Lord model? The Lord himself went off by him, went away from the crowd and had times of prayer and rest. Is your command to love your neighbor as yourself also a command to love self? You know what it is? It's not a command. It is clearly a measure. You know what it tells me when I read this verse? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There isn't any one of us in here. There's a lot of people in our culture have been told, oh, you don't love yourself enough. That is biblically inaccurate, and it's not true. We all love ourselves, and we have learned to get attention by feeling sorry for ourselves and all sorts of other things. And it's an explanation for why we've got to take a bunch of chemicals into ourselves and really mess us up so that we can't even think through the things logically. It's all sorts of things going on like that. But let me say, Scripture says your measure of loving another is how you love yourself. We do that quite naturally.
One of the problems that really happens is inordinate love for oneself. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets people into real serious trouble.
Yeah. That's the very next question. Why is loving self to be avoided as a goal? I'll tell you, here's one of the issues.
Put yourself above everybody else.
You know, when you talk about the challenges of a believer, we talk about Satan. We talk about the world. And what's the other one? The flesh. And frankly, my personal experience is the real area I have to be on guard for is my flesh. I think more highly of myself than I ought to think. And that's where I get into trouble. Yeah. Well, there's two ways to take that, as there always is in these things, Jerry. That's a great question. Now, if you know, if in fact they're saying it the way you said it, you know what I heard in the tone of your voice. Here's a critical item in communications: words, tone, and then your nonverbal expressions. The way those are all three very integral to the message. Your words can be one thing, and the other two can be absolutely opposite. And when you said that, your nonverbal and your tone was saying, well, I'm really having kind of a tough day. Woe is me, but I think I can make it through. Yeah. That is garbage. That isn't the way a Christian ought to be looking at life. You know, I appreciate getting older. I appreciate my wife and I discussing our aging together. Now, her arthritis is, you know, pretty substantial. But you know what? We really are enjoying life. That's a decision. Again, I go back to my two-year-old. I can't tell you how often I interact with little Alex and say, well, listen, Alex. Being happy is a decision. And you better start choosing wisely, or you're going to have some problems with Grandpa. Okay? Is it or not? Isn't being happy a decision? You can be grumpy about this, or you can be sad about this, but when you're a two-year-old, you're still going to do whatever's on the plan. That's no different for us either. Life still happens. Let's rejoice in it. God loved us first. Why is that important? Well, I'll tell you why it's important. Love, it, by the way, love defined in a biblical sense is sacrificially giving of yourself. We're talking about agape love here. Sacrificially giving of yourself to meet the needs of another. God initiated this. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the initiative. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He took the initiative. Why is this important? Because it is our example. It is how we are supposed to live. As you examine yourself, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, do you find yourself loving God in every aspect of your being? Now that's pretty serious. You know, you really have to be disciplined in yourself or you won't do this. You'll love yourself. That's what happens. You don't take control of this area. You'll love yourself. That's every time. That's where it goes. And if you don't recognize that, you need to take a more serious look at life. Where are you lacking? God is pleased when we love, especially when we love those who are the least. That's what this verse says, Matthew chapter 25. And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Here's one of the challenges as I was preparing this message. I thought about this. How could I do this? Identify those whom you find hard to love and find a way to express love of God to them.